welcome you to another edition of Being Well Informed. And my name is Claudia Barber. I am the podcast host of this program, Being Well Informed. And we have a wonderful topic and program for today. Our very special guest is Elder Charles James of the Caucus of African American Leaders, as we delve into the topic of renaming the Francis Scott Key Bridge. Hello there, Elder James.
Good afternoon, Judge Barber, and thank you so much for having me.
Oh, wonderful. We're glad to delve into this topic. Tell us about yourself and your connection with the Caucus of African American Leaders.
Okay, well, I am a native Annapolitan, born and raised. I've lived there all my life with the exception of my time in the military. I graduated from Annapolis High School, where I played basketball for some time. That's another story. And after graduation, I entered into the military, where I pursued a career in healthcare, particularly emergency medical care. After serving more than 20 years, I came back home to my beloved city. And I always let people know that Annapolis is my beloved city. Everybody thinks that you're from Baltimore or somewhere, not to slight Baltimore any, but Annapolis is my home, my beloved home. And I came back home and worked after retirement in the hospital as an emergency medical care technician and did some other things. Now, as far as my connection with the caucus, I have known the Honorable Carl Snowden for many years. As a matter of fact, we sort of grew up not together, but grew up knowing each other. We both went to Annapolis High School. I was there during the time that Carl Snowden got expelled from school because he wanted to make sure that we got the right studies there. And they sort of labeled him as a troublemaker. And so I joined the caucus once I came back from the military in around 2013. And I've been a member ever since. I sort of try to assist Carl Snowden as best I can.
Now, there is more than one chapter of the caucus, is there not?
That's correct. There's also the Caucus of African American Leaders on the Maryland's Eastern Shore, which encompasses all nine counties from the upper shore all the way down to the lower shore. And the convener there is the Reverend James Jones, who actually oversees that caucus. There's also another chapter that's up in Harford County that's not very active at this time from the things I've seen, but they do carry the name caucus.
Well, then there's this whole concept of why we're here today, the renaming of the Francis Scott Key Bridge. This is becoming an evolving topic right now. So what prompted this whole idea of renaming the Francis Scott Key Bridge?
Well, I don't think this is something that's new. I think, however, what prompted us to act on it was when the tragic event of the bridge collapsing on that Tuesday morning, 1:29 in the morning, it just brought a light to the situation. And we talked about it as a caucus. The gentleman, everyone who is from, well, most people from Maryland, I should say, is aware of who Francis Scott Key is and his affiliation with the Star Spangled Banner and so forth. So what prompted us to rename this bridge is we did some research, and research has found that Francis Scott Key was a slave owner. And although some of the aspects of some of the people that has done the research has said that he was favoring releasing the slave, but nevertheless, he was a slave owner. And he also made some disparaging remarks about, you know, people of color, African-Americans. And so we don't think that any of that, any structure should be named after a person that has racist type overtones and speaks illy of people of color. And so we decided that we would discuss it, and we decided that we would take a vote on the resolution on renaming the Francis Scott Key Bridge to a name that's appropriate for the state of Maryland.
You played a key part in actually reading the resolutions into the record when they were passed by the Caucus of African American Leaders, which is on our Monday calls that deal with a consortium of other organizations, including the Wicomico County NAACP, Anne Arundel County NAACP, United Black Clergy, and other, or even NAN, local representatives from the National Action Network are part of this consortium. So you landed on two resolutions.
Yes.
One was, is it to rename the Francis Scott Key Bridge the Perrin J. Mitchell Bridge?
Yes.
And then the second one is the Choptank River Bridge?
Yes, and that's actually named after another controversial gentleman who was actually a member of the Maryland legislation for a long time. His name
Frederick Malkus.
Malkus.
Yes.
Actually, when that bridge was being named or being talked about being named, the governor at that time,
Hughes.
Governor Hughes actually didn't want the bridge named, but it ended up being named anyway. So, yes. He actually vetoed the bill. And I was actually proud to be able to read that resolution on the Monday morning meeting, because it's something that's necessary and something that we need to really get done.
Well, you know, when I thought about it being named in honor of Gloria Richardson, she has a legacy over there on the Eastern Shore.
Absolutely.
That's huge.
Yes. So Gloria Richardson is a well-known, and especially on Maryland's Eastern Shore, but she was a well-known activist during the 60s, during the 1960s, when they had a lot of the protests happening over in Cambridge, Maryland. And actually, there is a picture, and I don't have it at this time, that when they was having a protest, they called out the Maryland National Guards, and they was there with weapons and bayonets drawn, and they actually had a National Guard member with a bayonet held up relatively close to Gloria Richardson, and she put up her hand, and she kept doing what she was doing, protesting some of the racial injustices that were going on over in Cambridge. So she is very well known, and she is one that is deserving of that bridge being named after.
Well, it may very well be, and I have to research this, it may be the first time we've had a bridge named after a woman in Maryland.
And I'm not sure of that either, but I cannot recall any bridge named after a woman in the state of Maryland.
Yes. Sure. So this is a huge historic moment. If we advance this possible legislation to the forefront and put it before the governor, it's based on my research of Gloria Richardson. She was heavily responsible for the existence of the Treaty of Cambridge, named after Cambridge, Maryland.
Mm-hmm.
And she worked with the late Attorney General Robert Kennedy Sr. In the formulation of that Treaty of Cambridge. But yes. She was also, now actually, I got a response from someone who mentioned in one of our caucus meetings that they protested with Gloria Richardson. So yes, they know Gloria Richardson. Absolutely, they know
Amen.
Her. She apparently was involved in protests of the huge unemployment rate.
Unemployment.
Unemployment,
school desegregation. Mm-hmm. She also was responsible and helped establish the Human Rights Commission. And she created provisions for the housing over there. public housing. So she was active in on many fronts over there on Maryland's Eastern Shore.
Right.
And she got a lot accomplished during her time there. She lived to be 99 years old.
It, you know, it just takes such champions and change agents.
Yes.
Because either you have a change agent or you have nothing. And you know, either people are gonna say, look, I can't take this anymore. The unemployed, that we have no health care or hospital to go to. We need change here. Or you just accept what is. And I I'm proud of her for not accepting what is.
And so am I. And you know, Cambridge does have a rich history of trying to change the wrongs that's going on over in their communities over on the Eastern Shore. Matter of fact, the Reverend Adam Clayton Powell spoke over there in Cambridge, and I believe it was 1967, and he entitled a sermon. Well, it wasn't a sermon, but it was a speech. What's in your hand? And you can Google that on YouTube, and it'll pop right up. What's in your hand? And he was basically asking the people, what's in your hand? What are you going to do about it? Are you going to be a part of the change? You don't have to wait for somebody else to do it. What's in your hand? And so, yeah, you have to be a change agent. Absolutely.
So going back to the reasons for renaming the Francis Scott Key Bridge, are we erasing Francis Scott Key's history and legacy?
You know, I'm glad you asked that question. That is a great, great question. And let me just say, no, we're not erasing Francis Scott Key history. His history is written. It's down. Everyone knows what it is, you know. And so how can anyone...
monuments named after him? He has many other things.
Right. It's not just the bridge. It's not just the bridge. You know, in St. John's College, they have an auditorium named after him. You know, they have the bridge, you know, they have streets named them. So we're not erasing this history. We're just saying that it's not right to have these structures named after somebody that's racist. Now, I'm going to just digress a little bit from that because I want to say that's like asking me, are you erasing your history? Is somebody erasing my history because they're talking about something else? No one can erase my history. My history is what it is. You know, our history is what it is. So Francis Scott Key history is written down and his legacy is what it is. He is who he was. And so, no, I don't think we can say that. And if anyone wants to say that, it's only because they want to not agree with the name being the bridge being renamed to someone else.
Well, there has been quite a handful of letters to the editor ever since this whole news story erupted to rename the Francis Scott Key Bridge something else. And most of the conversation or even the letters to the editor seem to vary, but I guess I could categorize them as giving the bridge a different no name, no specific namesake. The Maryland Memorial Bridge, for example. Okay. One writer writes a letter to the editor. It is high time to retire its association with the past and to honor our citizens living and dead with a bridge for the ages, the Maryland Memorial Bridge. What is your response to that?
Well, you know, I must say, I really did. Before we came up with the resolution asking the caucus to consider sending a resolution to rename it the late Honorable Perrin J. Mitchell Memorial Bridge, I thought about the six construction workers that were on the bridge because you know they gave their life doing something to make the bridge better. They were trying to to do construction, filling potholes or whatever else they were doing. And they lost their lives doing that. So I actually thought about that. Now, as far as the Maryland Memorial Bridge, that's not a bad name.
I think that your resolution, though, included all names,
right,
of those that we knew, that the six workers that were deceased.
It absolutely did.
And it's not forgotten, because our resolution, the resolution of the caucus, really brought forth memorializing them as part of this project.
Yes. So this is a thought process that I had when thinking about that, because I sort of play the devil's advocate on some things, you know, what if this and what if that. So I says, okay, so if we do get are successful in having that bridge renamed the Perrin J. Mitchell Memorial Bridge, what's to say that there could not be a plaque on each end of that bridge, mm-hmm, with those individuals that lost their lives, memorializing them also? And that's something that can be thought about. But the thing that I really want to emphasize is that we're not trying to discount anyone. What we're trying to do is say this bridge should not be named after someone with such a history, such as Francis Scott Key. And you don't have to take my word for it. Research it for yourself. It's written down. You know, a lot of people try to downplay it and say that, you know, he was on the side of slavery and he tried to do things for slavery and this and that. But the fact of the matter is that he wasn't a good person. Matter of fact, he was the brother-in-law of Roger Taney, the one that wrote the Dred Scott decision.
Yes. Yeah. So then there's another letter to the editor. Anthem Bridge is appropriate, patriotic, and respectful. It says, for the most part, that the stars and stripes of the American flag are painted on the Francis Scott Key buoy, which is bobbing up and down in the Patapsco River. It marks the spot not far from the collapsed Francis Scott Key Bridge, where Key was inspired by the 1814 Battle of Fort McHenry to write a poem, the words of which would become the national anthem. So being the case, one writer says Anthem Bridge is an appropriate, historic, patriotic, respectful, and geographically sensitive name for the new bridge once it is built.
The Anthem Bridge. And so there we go right back to where we started from. Mm-hmm. So you say the Anthem Bridge, and who, and when they talk about the Anthem Bridge, who are they talking about? They're talking about Francis Scott Key, who wrote the anthem. Mm-hmm. And so there you're still associating that bridge with Francis Scott, although his name may not be on it. If someone decided, or if legislation decide to rename it the Anthem Bridge, it's still associated with Francis Scott Key. So to that name, I would say no, absolutely no. That's so, my thought process.
So then we discussed Perrin Mitchell. Why, yes, Perrin Mitchell?
Why Perrin Mitchell? Okay. The late Congressman Perrin J. Mitchell, of course, you know, was from Maryland. He was the first African-American congressman elected from the state of Maryland. He was a founding member of the Congressional Black Caucus, trusted by, I would venture to say, a great majority of the people in the state of Maryland and throughout the country, because he worked to build bridges for others to cross while tearing down the walls that others that has excluded them. So, you know, he was someone that was working for all people. Mm-hmm. He was someone that was trying to make Maryland a better place, and he didn't care what background you was from, what racial group you were from, or religious background you had. He made it a point to work for all people. And if you called on him to do something that was beneficial to the people of the state of Maryland, he would almost always answer.
Right.
So I think he's an appropriate person to name this bridge after. And his legacy speaks for itself.
It does. And he just spent so many years in Congress, fighting civil rights, you know, for civil rights legislation, advancing civil rights causes for Maryland, not just Marylanders, but on a federal level.
Absolutely.
You know, it it just speaks volumes. And to the extent that you had a Perrin J. Mitchell, his legacy would continue. And there's nothing harmful about this. And by the way, when you think about the renaming of bridges, actually, the Choptank River Bridge was named before the Frederick Malchus Bridge. Yes. And so this is not new. It's just not new when you forge with the effort to rename a specific it's time. It's the timing also that's relevant here.
You know, the Honorable Carl Snowden also many times he quotes Malcolm X. And he says it's one of the quotes of Malcolm X, the time is now to do the things now. And I'm paraphrasing that. But, you know, why wait to do something when you know it's right and the time is now to do it? And you're going to always, whenever you try to do something right, you're going to always get some resistance from people that wants to keep things the same. They want the status quo. And we see that all the time.
That seems to have come out in some of the letters to the editor. And one letter to the editor says, I can understand why Black Marylanders would not want a bridge named in honor of someone who enslaved Black people. But instead of trying to find consensus on any single person or group of people to name a bridge or any state-owned property after, perhaps it's time we stop naming things after individuals altogether. After all, we are all human and fallible. Perhaps it's time we start naming things after ideas that we can all agree on. For instance, rather than naming the new bridge that will replace the recently collapsed Francis Scott Key Bridge after Key again, we could call it the Civil Rights Bridge or Baltimore Pride Bridge or something similar. What's your thought?
There's some great ideas there. It just depends on the consensus of everyone, and I think there's nothing wrong with those names, you know. So I would say everybody needs to just sit back and think about really what they really would want, you know. And these are great ideas that people are writing in, with the exception of the negative ones. I will say that because some just because we have an idea doesn't always make it the right decision to make. I'm a fan of Perrin J. Mitchell, and I just think that because of what he has done, he is the right choice. However, if a commission is formed or whatever to decide to change the name of the Francis Scott Key Bridge, I think that if there's another name that's appropriate, we need to consider that.
Okay. So but you know, in thinking about the rich legacy of having a Perrin J. Mitchell Bridge.
Yes.
To me, it resonates well with his Baltimore life and legacy. He was part of Congressional District 7 for the longest period of time. Yeah. And it's not a mistake, I think, to consider Perrin J. Mitchell and his legacy and naming the bridge after him.
And I think one of the reasons why we decided was because of his rich history and his connection to Baltimore. We all know that the bridge that collapsed is connecting Baltimore to the port and to Anne Arundel County. And so the bridge being right there at Baltimore, where Perrin J. Mitchell has such a very rich history there, I just think that that name is appropriate for the bridge.
Mm-hmm. I do too. I do too. You know, and I think it just is, I think the same way about Gloria Richardson because of her rich legacy. That is something that's very, very deserving.
Yes.
To kind of memorialize that part and for people not to forget what work she did. And because people often forget, they take for granted our privileges and our opportunities, but they're so precious. They really, really are.
Yeah, and I haven't always been, so to speak, a community activist. I was one of these. I call myself a nerdy kid when I was growing up. I used to hang out with the elderly people because they taught me so much. But when I went in the military, I was sort of one of these kind of guys that I sort of just fell in line with what was going on. Not to change the subject, but, you know, we need to be proud of our heritage and what we have accomplished. I recall very, very vividly, I retired from the military in 1992. When I was in the military, I was the greatest thing since vanilla ice cream and apple pie. But soon as I got out and took that uniform off, I was just another black man that people felt threatened by.
Mm.
And so, you know, and I'm very, very proud of my history and the people that I stand on the shoulders of. I don't have enough time to name all of them. My cousin Robert Ease, Carl Snowden, who I know very well, Bertina Nick. I mean, I can name the late Reverend Leroy Bowman, mm-hmm. and I can continue to name all of these people that were instrumental in doing great things for the community, for the black communities, to be honest with you.
We have to invite you back and to share more, because it seems like there's a lot of legacy in Annapolis that we could talk in more detail about.
It's quite a bit of legacy in Annapolis. I often tell people, you know, that women, and I say this loud and proud, women do not get the credit that they deserve. And I start with my own mother, the late Deaconess Alice James, who raised me as a single parent and taught me how to be respectful and do the right thing. And then I can just go down a list of women that has been very instrumental in who I am today. My late wife, Elder Shirley James, was instrumental in who I am today. I raised six daughters who are grown women now that are very instrumental. I look to women for their strength. I'm not ashamed to say that. A lot of men will think that they're the ones that's got it going on, but the reality is that women has carried us a long way. Harriet Tubman.
Yes.
Fannie Lou Hamer.
Yes.
And the
definitely
list, Shirley Chisholm, Barbara Jordan, the list goes on and on and on. And in Annapolis, we have quite a bit of them also.
We do. Thank you so much for joining us today for another edition of Being Well Informed.
Thank you for having me, and I really enjoyed being here. And I hope you have a very blessed day. And everyone else that's listening, God bless you.